You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy game day, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And of course, because it is a game day Monday, this is also the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. It is, of course, game day, Josh. We are here on Facebook Live, so if you want to hang out with us there as well, good morning. It is gloomy as hell outside. Doesn't look like it's going to rain, though.
Vibes are
game
high.
Day.
Vibes are high.
Vibes are okay.
Hey,
it's 10 in the morning, and I've got the game at 7:30. We've still got a while to go.
We're going
to
find out what the weather does later on in the show, as we have Patrick Hammer on with us at 11:30. We got Sal coming up at 10:30. Mm-hmm. Do some last minute injury stuff.
Report.
Just talking about the game coming up and everything like that.
Was it pass interference, Sal? Coming up at 10:30.
I think anyone can tell you that it was.
It was pass interference.
We also have a doubleheader today. Sabres play tonight. 5 o'clock.
I thought you were going to say it's doubleheader. We have Cincinnati and Washington tonight.
Oh, no. The more important doubleheader is the Sabres play tonight at 5
there
against the Columbus Blue Jackets, another Ohio team. Rasmus Dahlin back at practice today, which
was back at practice.
Very good to see. But yeah, so Buffalo doubleheader today, doubleheader on Monday Night Football. You got the Bengals and Commanders at 8:15.
Yep, they're at the normal Monday Night Football time.
Everything that's promoting these games says 15 minutes before kickoff because of the pregame show and all that. And
well, remember, the Bills actually kick off at 7:15, not 7:30.
Right.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that. And it bothers me so much.
It's confusing because everyone, I had four calls this morning. I'm like, is it 7:15 or 7:30? And I was like, I think 7:15.
7:30.
I don't know. It says 7:15. And then it's like, nope, it's 7:30. It's like, oh, cool. Great. Thank you for confusing everyone.
It's the best. I can deal with Sunday night games.
Right.
There's a part of me that can also deal with Thursday night games.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like Monday night games.
Really?
I do not like the tension that I feel constantly.
Oh, because you're waiting.
It's the wait.
Right.
Thursday night, boom, we're the first game. We open the week up. Sunday night, you're kind of watching football all Sunday. You know, the fun song of you've been waiting all day for Sunday night. It makes sense. It works. It's fine. What have you. Monday night, I've got to do a whole other sleep. And then the work day.
You don't have football to watch.
Play.
You don't have football to watch all day. You just have to work somehow.
I'm finding myself in a weird spot, Josh, because I'm somebody, I mentioned it with Sal last week, and we've talked about it a lot too. I'm somebody that does lean into the historical aspect of the Bills hate playing the Jaguars. The games get funky really fast.
They don't
fast.
Hate playing the Jaguars. The Jaguars just have a voodoo doll of something with Buffalo that makes them win every time.
Either way, I hate it. And I don't enjoy playing the Jaguars. I don't like their uniform combos either, so I don't find it all that aesthetically pleasing.
The only thing I like is the leaping Jaguar logo that they brought back.
That's cool.
That's cool. But
that's fine.
Everything else is what are you doing?
I want out.
Get better.
And now that it's a Monday night game, I found myself last night watching a little bit of the Atlanta Falcons and Kansas City Chiefs play. I'm like, oh, come on. I've got so long to go.
I have 24 hours to wait still.
I've still got so long to go.
I will say it's big that it's at 7:30.
Well, yeah, instead of the normal 8:15, 8:30.
Even though it's only 45 minutes, that makes a big difference in terms of being able to go to sleep at a somewhat normal time.
Well, I know Jeremy was talking too about putting the kids to bed.
Yeah, right.
And that whole sleep schedule, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote fun
to
deal with. But I'm at a point. I'm like, let's go. Let's hurry this up. I'd be all for Monday night games, 10 in the morning. Let's go. That's when we're playing.
So Monday morning games?
Monday morning games. We are doing European games.
Everyone's at work.
No. Just we have off.
Oh, it's a national holiday.
It's like a national holiday, the Monday night games.
Ooh,
become Monday morning games, and we all just play it then.
This is how you do the doubleheader. 10 a.m., and then whenever that game's over, boom, you start the second game.
There we go.
There's your doubleheader. Or you can do a tripleheader. 10 a.m., 1 p.m.,
I will tell you, I don't like the doubleheaders. To me, it defeats the purpose of Monday Night Football.
Oh, the prime time.
Kind of that,
right.
the mystique and the prestige of it. It used to be the premier primetime game. I think Sunday has kind of overtaken it. Now it's you got two of them going. a neutral fan is going to jump probably in between the two of them. One's on ABC, one's on ESPN. Of course, us being Bills fans and covering the Bills, we're going to stick with the Bills game the entire time.
Right, yeah.
But to me, like, that's where it defeats the purpose of just...
Well, but also, too, I wonder how much you're going to get the double box of, oh, look what just happened
in
the Bengals-Commanders game. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm watching the Bills
never.
Game. I want that when I'm watching Red Zone. I don't want that when I'm watching my team's game.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Like, even before, like, I was working the games... When the Bills were on, I didn't watch Red Zone. That's why, like, right. A big part of it was why I didn't buy it. It was like, the Bills don't play at 4 o'clock. They don't really play many primetime games.
It's the exact opposite.
Now it's the opposite where, like, I'm, like, looking through the schedule and I'm like, all right, well, you know, Baltimore's a Sunday night game. Okay, like, so we're going to have, you know, kind of an open window there. Okay, Houston's a 1 o'clock game. The Jets are Monday night game. Like, and I'm just going through it. So, like, it makes more sense to have it now, but.
Houston being 1 o'clock is just insane.
Are they any good? Are they any good?
Are the Vikings good is the real question.
I kind of wanted to jump in that a little bit later, but we can do that now. Just like watching the games yesterday, including the Chiefs, I find myself not really thinking anyone is all that good.
I
don't think there's a great team in the NFL.
Well, it goes back to the conversation we were having last week about the whole thing with the two high safeties and everything that's changing on defense. It's affecting offenses, and it's making the league – it's not making them look bad, but it's making offenses look like they have to figure something out that's different. Which they haven't had to do for the past 4 or 5 years.
Sure, and, I mean, like, if you had a great quarterback and like any like solid receivers, you were fine.
But I think that that's part of the reason why it all looks bad. It's really not. It just looks that way because of the fact that the defenses are so much different this year. And I'm not saying that it's just because of the too high safety. It's a lot of other contributing factors of just superstar players being on defense now. Because, I mean, it's starting in the college level. A guy like Travis Hunter, he plays both sides of the ball. He's good on both sides of the ball.
So good.
And that looks great. And there's guys around the league that are superstars on defense. One of them that the Bills are going to see tonight that's kind of a rising star is Josh Hines-Allen.
That's right.
But, again, two or three years ago when the Bills played the Jags and it was the 9-6 game, Allen was all over Allen. And it was not the Bills Allen that was all over.
No.
It was the Jaguars. Josh Allen was very good that game, and he hasn't gotten worse. He's gotten better.
He's gotten better, yeah.
So, but again, you look at all of these players, and I think that's affecting what we're perceiving as quote-unquote good football. Because there is still very much
good games and good moments.
I mean, even the Giants yesterday, I mean, Malik Nabers.
I feel like that's way more in Cleveland, too. Like, I think Nabers is great. But
I mean, Cleveland's defense, though, that's not... They're no slouch. I mean,
No.
Miles Garrett
That was one of the best units in football last
year. So, Miles Garrett is insane. But...
Left with an injury, though, too.
Fair. But my point there being is, even though you have what's looked at as bad football, it's really... Not.
Well, I don't think it's been bad football. I just genuinely don't believe there's any great teams in the NFL.
Right. There's good teams, not great teams.
Like,
I mean,
even San Francisco, who many would argue is maybe the most talented team,
right.
The moment their top player gets hurt, it's all downhill.
They have no depth, yeah.
Kittle is so instrumental to their run game. And when he's out, they look like a completely different roster. And the Rams, who are injured to hell, like not the surface level stuff that some of these other teams are, I mean, legitimately just wounded all across the board. Stunningly beat the 49ers. You have the Eagles who, where would they be without Saquon Barkley? Honestly.
Right, yeah.
Where would they be without him? Probably 1-2 at best. I don't even know if you beat Green Bay.
Here's
who would love going down.
Here's the superlative, I think, you could do for every single team in the NFL right now, except for a few ones that are just flat out bad.
The Raiders.
Well, the Raiders, yes, and the Bears. The Bears, what's happening?
The Panthers. We're starting Andy Dalton from day one.
Andy Dalton is good. The Panthers are not.
The only quarterback so far this year to have 300 yards and 3 touchdown passes in a game.
The Panthers organization is not good. The players are.
Maybe.
But my overall synopsis, I think, for the entire league, and you could maybe put the Bills in this too, depending on how tonight goes, every team is just super inconsistent. Every single one of them. There's teams that they'll go out there and they'll get at least 2 touchdowns and it'll be a somewhat close game. Or you know their defense will go out there and be good. But everything else is just a coin flip and you have no idea what's going to happen. And to be fair, that's how a lot of sports is. But it's kind of weird when it feels like every single team is having the same problems in terms of consistency.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, look, the 49ers, they're injured. And oh yeah, their offense doesn't look very good, but their defense is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, the Cowboys, they can't stop the run, but their offense is still kind of there with CeeDee Lamb.
My goodness, can they not stop the run?
464 yards over two games.
What a saw useless that stat this morning. Defense.
Crazy.
I mean, you kind of like were getting yourself back into that game somewhat, but just never a chance.
I just
awful.
I saw that number this morning on ESPN, and I could not believe what I was seeing.
One time in my life, 464 rushing yards in two games. One time in my life, I actually root for the Dallas Cowboys because I kind of just wanted to see like what would happen if Baltimore did start 0-3, especially with Buffalo going to them
right, yeah.
next week. I was kind of interested in just how that would play out. I know for me, though, personally, I was like, I can't see Baltimore going to 0-4, so like. It made like tonight yeah. feel more important, but yeah, just Dallas's defense atrocious. I mean, a complete train wreck.
What's Micah Parsons gonna do?
He's alone, man. He's more of a pass rusher. He's not really a run stopper, and apparently, no one else on the team is. They're atrocious. They're so bad.
Well, I just mean, what's he gonna do for his contract?
I don't know. Ask for everything. That's what I would do. Stake in ownership. That feels right. That feels good.
Yeah, but are they going to look at him and say, well, you're not doing anything. You're not doing it on the run.
Okay, yeah. Who else is?
I mean, listen, we're talking about Jerry Jones here. Like, yeah. You never know what he's going
to
say.
No, it's fair. That's on the NFC side of things, though. For the AFC, though, to kind of go to the point of there just does not feel like any elite teams. If Buffalo would win today, they'd be the third 3-0 team in the conference. Yeah. The others being Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
What kind of contract is Justin Fields about to get? That's the real question.
3 years, $30 million. He's not doing anything.
I know, but it's kind of questionable what Pittsburgh going to do with him.
But so them and then Kansas City. And Kansas City, I don't think once has walked away convincingly.
No.
Week one, it's a toe away from losing to Baltimore. Against Cincinnati, it's a somewhat questionable pass interference call. I was for it. I understood it, but I could understand also arguments to not call it. And then last night against Atlanta, a very clear non-call on a defensive pass interference towards right. Kyle Pitts.
And they get kind of lucky on that fourth and inches, too. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't like Bijan was close to getting the first down, but at the same time, it felt like the Falcons were not in control, but they were definitely a better team than they had looked in the past 2 weeks, especially against the Chiefs.
It looked like they'd taken that last drive from Philadelphia and it brought it back over.
Right, but then their last drive that ended in the fourth and inches kind of just was what Philadelphia did.
But like, if the Chiefs are 3-0, and I saw this on Twitter last night too, and I get it. It's like, you know, if this is their worst football, imagine where they're going to be in January. And I'm like, are we sure? Like, they're definitively going to get better. I get it. We probably should give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm actively taking away my benefit of the doubt from the Eagles. I'm not doing that for the Chiefs. But
right. But the Eagles, like, that's a different story.
But I guess my thing is more like. We talk about progression all the time with players, but like progression is not linear for teams either. The Chiefs could start 3-0 now and never really get better. Rashee Rice is amazing now. I think there's also a fair complaint of he's probably not playing next year. He's likely going to get suspended. He has a ton of felonies just kind of waiting to be figured out.
Yeah.
And then for their defense, Nick Bolton, I think, got hurt last night. Travis Kelce. We're back to retirement talks. That man is non-existent.
He's had six targets through three games, and I think he's only caught four of them.
Yep. Yeah. He has been non-existent.
Speaking of non-existent tight ends, Mark Andrews, real quick. Sorry, I just thought of him. He is.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that one up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying Worthy.
Likely he's not even playing well either, but Worthy. Great week one.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't really done much since.
Yeah.
And they're kind of desperate for a number two receiver with Hollywood Brown almost definitely out for the year.
Yeah.
He may come back for the playoffs. Not really sure on that. Isaiah Pacheco's down. They're now down to what? Carson Steele?
Kareem Hunt.
Did they elevate him, or is he still on the practice squad?
But still, he's there.
He didn't play this week. I probably expect him to play next week.
Yeah. But you look at Worthy, I think, is maybe the perfect example of, I think, like, everyone was expecting, like, just, oh, man, two touchdowns in opening day. Here we go. Following that, Cincinnati, four targets, two catches, 17 yards.
Last night wasn't – or no. I'm looking at it in reverse order. Sorry. I looked at the Baltimore
one. I mean, you're right, though. Yeah. Against Atlanta, four targets, two catches, 17 yards.
Wow.
In terms of rushes against Cincinnati, one rushing attempt for 5 yards. Against Atlanta last night, three rushes for 13 yards.
No touchdowns.
So it's not like Worthy's lighting the league on fire. Like, no. I think everyone was anticipating him to do after week one.
He's clearly a part of their offense, but it's not.
Is he?
Well, in terms of, well, I guess, actually, yeah. I don't know.
That's my thing is like, is he really? Mm. Are we sure? He kind of just seems to be like, well, you need to be here because we don't have Hollywood
right.
Brown. Kelsey's not doing anything, so we kind of need you. Pacheco's not even here anymore.
Yeah. Actually,
their offense is basically Mahomes drop back. Hey, where's Rashee Rice? He had 14 targets last night for 12 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown.
Right. They're going to bring back Kadarius Toney?
No.
No, he signed
no
somewhere.
Way.
He signed somewhere.
If that happens, I will have many questions for that front office because that's just that's bad. Like he was really bad for them, and
he's with Cleveland.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
that's an interesting.
But
spot.
So, like, the Chiefs are sort of like the big kind of thesis to this whole thing is that there's no real great teams. Mm-hmm. They're 3-0, and I would argue all three of their games, they're sitting there going, "All right."
The Cincinnati one's the only one where you could maybe say they deserve to win.
But Cincinnati, I would say that Jamar Chase losing his mind on the field and costing his team 15 yards. And which could have been a game-clinching drive, is also kind of like, all right, like just, you know, brush the sweat off your face. I get it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs held together better than Cincinnati. I get that. But it is also one of those things of like, man, if he just didn't freak out
right
about not really a hip point tackle? I mean, like,
a hip drop tackle. Arguing it should have been a hip drop tackle, and it probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, so he's freaking out about kind of a non-call.
Right. It was very in the moment, though, of like, that looked like one, that felt like one. Like, what are you guys doing? And when you look back at it, it's close, but it's not.
So, I mean, you have that. Baltimore, of course, they drove right down the field. Mm-hmm. And likely, if the man just wore size 10 shoes inside of 12,
right.
They won that game. And then last night, that's a defensive – that's pass interference.
Yeah, it's textbook pass interference. You're looking away from the ball, hugging the receiver as he's jumping over you.
You know, and it's where just, if I'm the Chiefs, I get giving them the benefit of the doubt and going, we're going to get better. Are you sure?
Because as you went through it, I mean, like I said, I was trying to argue that Xavier Worthy is they're trying to make him a part of part of their offense.
Mm-hmm.
But overall last night, he got 5 touches of the football.
Yeah.
Two receptions on 4 targets. 3 rushing attempts. That's not really like he's a
not
mainstay. He's not even a number 2 in that.
Mm-hmm.
And with those even just if he wasn't making catches, if he was getting targets, he's not like it's not a big part of that.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where I look at a team like the Bills and what they've done in terms of who they target and how they spread the ball around and how they have changed things between the two games they played so far. And that's where I look at it, and I'm not trying to be biased here or try to, you know, sound like, oh, everything's perfect here in Buffalo. But if one guy doesn't – like, if Curtis Samuel isn't there, which he hasn't been really,
I don't think
the offense doesn't falter. If Rashee Rice isn't there, the Chiefs are done for.
Yeah, they got no options past Rice.
Yeah, and it's like you take out – obviously, you can't sit here and say, oh, well, if they don't have Mahomes, they're not good. Yeah, if the Bills don't have Allen – there's gotta be problems,
right?
But
have different conversations.
If you look at all of the receivers the two teams have, and you say you take away two of them, you could take away two of the Bills' receivers right now, and their offense would still be fine tonight because you have James Cook, and depending on who you take away, you have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel. Like, there's a lot of options there, and they've all been aside from Samuel, they've all been somewhat consistent.
It's been the argument too of like, the Bills for a long time have not had a number 2. They've had the clear-cut one in Diggs, and then afterwards it's been not even a hodgepodge. It's been very concerning past. You'd have one pop-off game from Gabe Davis, and then he would falter for a number of weeks, where now it does kind of feel like week one, Keon Coleman leads the way in targets, receptions, and yards. Week two, it's Shakir. And ultimately for week two, they didn't throw the ball that much. They had short field. They had a lot of turnovers. They had a pick 6 in there as well. Cook was kind of able to run roughshod, especially because he had the one long run for a touchdown as well. You didn't really get to – I guess that's my thing too is up to this point, you've actually not had to see the Bills' offense have to flex their muscles. Because even in week one, and I've mentioned this when we were going into the Miami game as well, the comeback was not the same as Miami's. By the first drive of the third quarter, it was a tie ball game. It, you know, ultimately, when they take the lead and then you have the kick return for a touchdown that kind of makes it a game, you know, you take that away, or you've kind of gotten to the point where we're at now, where I think I heard Scott Hansen yesterday on Red Zone, 70% of kickoffs are going either out of the end zone or for touchbacks. Like, if you would have just done that, you're winning the game by like 14 points. You were already at an 11-point lead. And so that's where I'm comfortable with the Bills right now. I think if you would have asked us a month ago, you would have been looking at a number of these teams and going, we don't stack up that well offensively.
Yeah. Like on paper, it looked really concerning.
Yeah, and as somebody, like, I liked the build. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked the build going into this year. It was somewhat concerning of, yeah, I was looking at other teams and going, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know who I think maybe is the one great team in the NFL, honestly? Green Bay.
Yeah.
What they're doing with Malik Willis.
Right. He beats his old team.
Dominating with Malik. And they've changed up their offense entirely. I could argue them.
Yeah.
Imagine Minnesota maybe as well, but I'm still not totally sure there.
I'm so frustrated with them because I drafted Sam Darnold on my fantasy team just because.
And you keep benching him,
why
man.
Why not? And I benched him because I'm like, you know what? He's going to be fine, but he's not going to be great. And 3 weeks, I should have played him all 3 weeks, and I probably would have won all three games. And I'm 0-3 because of my quarterback decision. So, hey, Minnesota, Sam Darnold, please keep it going. Keep it going.
No, but, don't.
Well,
we got their second round pick. This is getting frustrating. I was happy with the Houston win.
Yeah.
Because, like,
That in itself was another AFC team that has a lot of question marks, even though they've had a somewhat decent start to the season.
Yeah,
Houston is now 2-1,
and Stroud, I really don't think, has played a great game yet. He's been pretty solid.
And they've also
Collins has looked like a monster.
Yeah, the two games they played before this against the Colts and the Bears, not, you know, amazing. By
especially
any
looking
means.
At the Colts now,
right?
And seeing how that week one. Well, I mean, that's the divisional rivalry. I get it, but mm-hmm. the Colts have looked very lackluster, to say the least.
But you beat the Bears by 6 points. You beat the Colts by 2, and then you get blown out by the Vikings.
Yeah,
it just did not look good. And I wonder with Houston. I don't think it's a CJ Stroud problem. I don't really know if there's problems on the Texans. I think it's kind of just like a.
They're playing a tougher schedule.
But they also have to like kind of work it out, period. You know what I mean?
I will say, their offensive line is a nightmare. What was it, four straight offensive line or pre-snap penalties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think three of them were on Laramie Tunsil. It was wild.
That was insane
to watch.
That's like your big question mark there with them. But, I mean, they have the weapons on offense. I think it's just going to take time for them to get it together. That's a team that I think will kind of emerge later in the season. Like how you were saying with the Chiefs they're fine now and they'll get better. That's what I think the Texans really are, mm-hmm. is – they're fine now, but they will get better as the season goes on. CJ Stroud might have a little bit of a sophomore slump, but I think with what they have there, it'll be better than what it looks like right now.
But I mean, honestly, you look at the Bills' schedule, and it has somewhat, I don't want to say made you feel more at ease, but I look at it now like Jacksonville, 0-2, mm-hmm. and they look terrible.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when the schedule initially came out, yeah, of course you have the fears of it's Jacksonville, they don't play them particularly well, what have you.
Right.
I now look at them and I go, yeah, but their offensive line is bad. They've got an injury in the secondary.
Their biggest offensive production is a disaster. The biggest offensive producer has been their kicker.
Yeah, their offense is a joke, and it's at home. The vibes are feeling good with the Bills. They have two major injuries in Bernard, Johnson, and Milano.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw against Miami, they really figured it out. And then you gave them a long week to prepare.
Right.
And it seems like this is just setting up for potentially a really nice game for the Bills' defense, even though the Jaguars had their number. And then you just go on. You've got Baltimore for Sunday Night Football in Baltimore. They have not looked that great. I don't put much credibility into Dallas, Cleveland even, because I know Dallas had like a huge win over them. I don't put much credibility into that. That team just gives up running yards like it's going out of rushing yards like it's going out of style. I still think they look very susceptible, especially they're not getting anything out of Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm. It's you got to hope Zay right. Flowers, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson are all in sync for that to even look good. Houston, as we've mentioned, I think they look very gettable. I don't think they've looked great up to this point. The Jets, cool, you have Aaron Rodgers. That is a static offense.
Yeah.
There's no movement. There's no motion. There's nothing. And cool. Good job. You beat a bad Patriots team who happened to beat a terrible week one team in the Cincinnati Bengals who just hates showing up on, like, what, the 15th of September to play football? They hate it.
They hate it.
Cincinnati is not a fan of it.
Can't stand it. Why do we start the football season that day?
They hate it.
Also, fun stat.
And then Tennessee.
Oh, sorry.
Who, I mean, like, Will Levis.
We got our Will Levis picture again yesterday. It was him trying to hurdle two defenders and just get his feet clipped and he's on the ground.
It's awful. It's great. And I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated here, but it as now we're through 3 weeks of games with the last two being tonight. I do look at the Bills schedule, and it happens every year. This is not like a new phenomenon of like, man, the schedule and everything we're thinking about has changed. This happens every year. Either it gets harder, easier, or it's like, oh no, this is about what I thought.
Yeah,
there is some sort of understanding you come to rather early on, and for me, it's just it feels like it's a bit easier.
Yeah.
Than initially thought. Now, some of these teams are going to get their injured players back. Like they have the Rams much later in the year. They're probably going to have Kupp and Nacua back by that point, if not a lot of their offensive line as well. San Francisco, probably going to have all of everybody back
at this
point.
That's coming off the Bills bye week, and depending on what's going on with Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard, you might have those two back at that point.
Yep.
So, and Matt Milano is still up in the air, but they did say initially December.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm feeling really good going into tonight, and I'm feeling good going forward with the Bills season.
Quick stat for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
Fun one from the Jaguars.
Oh, boy.
Who has the most total points on their team right now?
Who is their kicker's name?
Cam Little. He has 12 points across 2 weeks. Trevor Lawrence has 7.
Really?
Wow. Trevor Lawrence has 1 touchdown.
I mean, it took Caleb Williams until week 3 to throw his first touchdown pass.
Right, but this is Trevor Lawrence.
No, I know.
He's in his fourth year. Regardless, he's been in the league long enough where 2 weeks into the season, you should have more than 1 touchdown pass. And he's got 162 yards in the first game against Miami with 1 touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then in their game against Chicago in week 2, my computer freezes up on
that's good.
Here.
That's good.
No, it's great. He didn't have any touchdown passes. He had 220 yards, no touchdown passes.
I feel like this is normal thing for Trevor Lawrence. Where like he will go through runs where like his offense is so inept that just everything collapses.
Travis Etienne's looked good though.
His rookie year, I remember, I think he had like an 11 game run of not throwing a touchdown pass.
It was
something along those lines.
Yeah, I remember that. But no, Travis Etienne, he's got almost 100 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. So not bad.
803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling going into tonight and the rest of the season? We're going to be joined by our own Sal Capaccio coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.